Bible reading is from Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. And that's page 1053 in your church Bibles. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much for the reading of God's word. And I've got some slides up that we're going to follow. The theme for this morning is welcoming Jesus into our homes. And I think there is three layers in the story that we're going to unpack. But I just want to pick some of the words that that were in the passage as we read it. The first word is the whole thing of just entering Jericho. So there is a city, okay? And that's the first layer we're going to look at, the city that he entered in. And then there's another layer of the house, okay? So cities are big, okay? Houses are a bit more confined, a bit smaller. He entered a house of a man who was called Zacchaeus. That's another layer. But there's a third layer, which is the heart. So we have the bigness of the city, Jericho. We've got the smaller compartment, which is the house. But then there is the soul, or the inside bit, that then he can say salvation has come to this man. This man is also a son of Abraham. Those are the three layers we're going to look at. And we're going to have some questions as we go through this passage, because the image of welcoming Jesus or receiving Jesus in our homes can be quite challenging for some of us. In our culture today, when there is a demonizing of some of the people that we're working with, it can be quite hard to understand how can we welcome Christ into our cities, into our houses, or into our lives. This morning we had the whole description of their barriers, sometimes even coming to church. You have to open a gate. Some gates have been put up by other people other than us. Barriers of understanding the word. Barriers of all kinds of, maybe I'm not good enough. I've sinned. I'm not worthy of coming before God. It could be barriers because our energies are low. The batteries are dead. So when Marcus says this morning, the batteries all needed, you know, we need new batteries. Maybe some of us, it's just a lot we've gone through and we're just knackered. We're worried down by the cares and the sorrows of this world. So this passage, it's a small passage of 10 verses, but there is gems in here that we're going to explore together. So let's pray as we enter into that. God, as we talk about you entering Jericho, as we talk about you entering the house of Zacchaeus and you bringing salvation, may that be true for each one of us. May we know that you're ready to come into our houses, into our homes, into our cities. And we pray prophetically for this place where we're standing. May it be a symbol of our willingness to welcome you into every area of our lives. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, let's go through this. So, the 3 points we're making, okay, is the people, okay? There is crowds in every society. There's cultures. In fact, someone said that our culture is like the water we swim in. We are shaped by some of the things we experience. And some of those things crowd our understanding of the people we are meeting or even of the lives that we're living ourselves. The second point we're going to make is about the payment. We see reparations being made by Zacchaeus saying, if I've done anything that is not right, I'm going to pay. And the third point we're going to make is one of the promise. Okay, and these three layers, we're going to look at them as we break into this word. But I've got a question for you. Let's start with the crowds. I've got a question for all of us. The question is, in this passage, do you regard Zacchaeus as a righteous man or Zacchaeus as a sinner? When you hear the story of Zacchaeus, what comes to mind? Just, do you think of him as, ooh, he was such a good man. What comes to mind? Thief. Oh my goodness, he's a traitor. He collects taxes. He's like a bailiff. I mean, we don't like this guy. You've all been in those cases where you got a ticket and you just feel furious. But in this case, we see a story of many layers. Because actually, the irony is the name Zacchaeus means the righteous one. So the irony of the passage is, okay, the crowds are saying he's a tax collector. We don't like this guy. We cannot invite him for dinner. Leave alone inviting ourselves to his house. He's a rich man. How did he get wealthy? He's a tax collector. We don't like him. And sometimes the crowds are loud and we all join in. Oh yes, we hate this guy. So the question for us is, I mean, do we actually believe the crowd, or do we believe that he's actually a righteous man? And for some of us, it's what we read. Some of us are like, oh no, we read the Daily Mail. And we know which party we follow because it's in the news. Or some of us are like, no, we're more of the Guardian. We think about the environment. We have all these circles in society that we make based on what's influencing us. Crowds are influencing people everywhere. Society is influenced. Just in the news, these last weeks, we hear about Prince Andrew. Oh yes, I think everything we like to shame. Crowds like to follow a story that is shameful. But the gospel message is different. The gospel message is different. It comes from a point of redeeming. The Bible is not about us being shamed. Christ did not come to shame us. The devil accuses us all the time. He's accused us since the beginning of time. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So when we are listening to crowds, when you are listening to culture around us, are we discerning as those who are following Christ and the gospel? Or are we joining the crowds in being worldly in our assumptions? So in our welcome of those who are around us, have we made judgments? May God help us. Jesus, unlike the crowds, says this man is a son of Abraham. Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. So that's the first point we're making. A point that reminds us very, very clearly that the word of God is not rooted in shaming. It's rooted in redeeming. He's a God who wants to redeem us. And the church gathers like the crowds have gathered with a different narrative. The church, this morning we gather with a narrative of hope. That's why we met with prisoners. That's why we met with the homeless. That's why we met with the addicts. That's why we met with those who are called the discarded in our society. Jesus says, show me a sinner and I'll hang out with them for dinner. And then you tell me whether he's a sinner or a saint. That's what he does. So this story is powerful because it paints a picture of what the crowd has said and then what Christ's response has been. So we are people who gather, but with Christ as the head. And so let our words be seasoned with hope as we meet those who we regard as not really fitting. So the question to us this morning, are we following the crowds in murmuring, or are we joining Christ for dinner? What will you do? That's point number one. Point number two is about payment. Now, we all know that when it comes to payment, we all have views. Now, this story talks about the chief tax collector being Zacchaeus. But when you go the chapter before, we go in Luke chapter 18. It talks about the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And then Jesus says this. To some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. That's Luke chapter 18, verse 10. That's the chapter before this whole story of Zacchaeus. So it's interesting, Luke is giving this story, and he says before there's a parable that Jesus told. Verse 10, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you, I'm not like the other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. That is the place where tax collectors were. They were not good people in the Pharisee's eyes. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of what I get. Verse 13, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. He beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me. Verse 14, I tell you that this man rather than the other went home justified. So, let's talk about payment for a minute. Do you think in this passage in Luke chapter 19, do you think that the encounter with Jesus was about repayment, or was it about receiving Jesus? What do you think? Was it about Zacchaeus repaying back what he had stolen, per se? Or do you think it was about just welcoming Jesus into his house? What do you think was more important? Today we put up barriers. Today we put up many barriers to having Christ entering our hearts, our cities, our homes. We think we have to pay. We have to do all these things. But maybe Christ is saying the biggest thing is receive Christ. Not what are you going to do for him? We cannot pay back. Jesus wants to come into our lives. And the thing is, there is nothing we can pay to deserve that. So, let me just paint this picture, because the passage says two different narratives. Now, if you read the NIV, it's about the present. So it says, but Zacchaeus stood up. So in the presence of Jesus, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions. It's like it's saying, in the presence of Jesus, a bit like today, in the presence of Christ, as we worship, you kind of feel this sense of confession. This is what I'm going to do for you, Jesus. When Jesus comes in, you kind of feel like he knows me, so I need to kind of show him my commitment. This is what I'm going to do, okay? I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody of anything, I will pay back double. Now, that's the NIV. Now, what's funny is the NIV makes a statement of here and now, but when you read the King James Version, it doesn't make that assumption that he's responding to the here and now. It says, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore. If Zacchaeus was lying, I think Jesus would be like, no, you're saying you're not being truthful. But actually, because he says, I restore. He didn't say, I'm going to restore. He said, they know me as a tax collector, but this is what I do. Interesting that the same passage looked at from different angles, colors, a different perception. Was he really responding to God and becoming saved there? Or was he actually saying, this is what I do already? Jesus just says, today, salvation has come. Because we realize that actually, sometimes it's not what you do or what you've done, but it's what he's done. He's paid the price. He's broken all the barriers down. The price has been paid for you and me to welcome Christ into our hearts. Don't listen to all this 10-point program to kind of receive. No, you can receive him now. Today, if you hear the voice of God. Today and now. As we get communion, you can receive the body and bread. Just receive it gladly. Say, thank you, Jesus. I receive you so well. Don't be like, oh, but then yesterday, but then, oh, am I going to be, oh, would I? No, receive him. Don't put barriers up. Let Christ come into your heart. John 1:12 says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all. It doesn't say to all who paid back everything they have lost, because you cannot pay back. So the story of Zacchaeus is about receiving Christ, regardless of what people have said about you in the past. Will you today recognize that our role is to welcome Christ into our hearts? Not to try and make all these righteous things that we think we can do to please him. He says, today, if you welcome me in, you are a child of God. Last point is about the promise. Now, Jericho was the first thing we talked about, the city. Now we're going to talk about Jericho. This is exciting because what do you know about Jericho? The walls fell down. Oh, interesting. Anything else about Jericho? So what's interesting is, the Bible says in verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho. Now, he was on his way to Jerusalem. But then he stops. It's kind of like he's pointing a picture about a city. Now, we know about the end time. They talk about the city of God. One day we're going to have a heavenly city. But this is actually an earthly city. In fact, UNESCO says it's one of the oldest fortified cities. It's the oldest city when they see the settlement that had fortification around it. In fact, when you go into modern-day West Bank, you find that there is this tree, the sycamore tree. So this is a picture that I want to paint of some of the aspects of this city. It's kind of rooted in history because we remember about the walls. And remember a lady called Rahab. Remember Rahab? Oh. What's funny about Rahab is, she was not the one you would say, oh, holy lady. Prostitute, they called her. She welcomed the spies. That's interesting that you can be non-perfect because we're made of flesh and blood, but we can welcome something of God. And then all of your family, your entire house can be redeemed. Interesting narrative about Jericho. Now, the question for you I'm going to give is, do you think there are any other significant aspects about this town? And I'm going to point out a few, okay? One of them we see about Jericho is the fact that it is the place where before the children of Israel went into the promised land, most of the men of fighting age had died during the 40 years around the wilderness. But all the men who had come up, who were fighting age, were not circumcised. So in the plains of Gilgal in Jericho, what happens is they circumcise them and then they had the Passover. Passover. So it's like there is links about before we go into the promised land, there is this passing over us. And I feel like Jesus is passing over to go and be the sacrificial lamb. But in that place, he stops. And then he finds someone who is up a tree. And I feel like Zacchaeus is up a tree. Shame doesn't climb a tree. Shame. In Genesis, we are shame hides. But Zacchaeus actually climbs a tree. He was short. Lots of things blocking him, but he climbed up a tree. But what we see in the picture is Jesus, later on we know that he's the one who climbed up the actual tree. And on the cross we say he was numbered among transgressors. He took the shame and instead became the one who climbed the actual tree that we call the cross. It's like he's saying, I am going to take your shame. And this is all rooted in promise. So in this place where Rahab invites the spies in to kind of help the house, it's the same place where Jesus says, on this sycamore tree, come down, because he knew what was coming. And what we see in the end is he's numbered with two transgressors. And one of them is like, do for us something, a bit like the crowd. Come on, look at him. And then the other is like, remember me. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. It's like God is saying, I am the Passover lamb. I am the one who can truly bring salvation. There's nothing else. So look at the promise. There is reputation ahead of you that you're a tax collector, but I've gone ahead of you and prepared a way such that when they look at you, they can see you as a child of God. We are children of God. So in Joshua 2:2-7, we hear about the story of Rahab. In Joshua 5:10, we hear Gilgal about them celebrating the Passover. And later on, we're going to be receiving communion together. But this is all symbolic. Jesus has gone ahead of us. What I want to finish with is this reminder that may we know that Christ is ready to meet with anyone who is opening up their hearts. And so my question for us as we go out is, what are some of the things that are crowding you receiving Christ in your city, in your house, or in your heart? Is it the people who you're listening to? Are you being crowd-like, or are you looking at the word and saying, your word I've hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you? Is it crowds, or is it the word of God? Second point, when it comes to payment, do you know that actually he paid the price? Romans chapter 4 says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. It's not about works. We don't accept God because of what we do. And then finally, we will remember there's a heavenly city. So if you've lost a loved one, Jesus is pointing to the cross saying, we are people of the promise. They that receive Christ, you are people of the promise. Regardless of what the reputations are, what the stature is, what your riches are, all that is not what Christ is looking for. So as we go out in the world, may we remember that Christ has welcomed us and wants to have dinner with us in our cities, in our houses, and in our hearts. May God bless you. Mm-hmm.